All right, I'm doing the video now. So what are you doing on the microphone, sir?
Talking.
Is it a TV show?
No!
Is it a radio show?
No!
What is it?
It's a podcast.
That's right, it's a podcast. Are you a podcaster?
Yes!
Who's better, bloggers or podcasters?
Podcasters.
Who's better, ninjas or podcasters?
Ninjas.
No, podcasters.
I say ninjas because they're good at kicking.
Stop kicking my table. He kicked my table and said they're good at kicking. We're going to put this video up at, I don't know if we have here.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay. Who's better, pirates or ninjas?
Pirates.
I thought ninjas were good at kicking.
All right. Orange or red? Quick.
Get ready to laugh out loud with Wise and Nerdy, the show hosted by two hilarious dads who are bringing their unique blend of wit, wisdom, and nerdiness to the airwaves. From sharing hilarious anecdotes about their own experiences to giving advice on navigating the ups and downs of life, these two dads have got you covered. But that's not all. They're also obsessed with all things nerdy. From comic books and sci-fi movies to video and board games. So whether you're a fellow dad, a pop culture fanatic, or just in need of a good laugh, tune in to Wise and Nerdy and join in the fun.
Oh, yeah, baby. It's time for Wise and Nerdy. And that was a very special opening. That was the second episode of The Heir Apparent. Who is here tonight on his 12th birthday ever? Ryland, the heir apparent, Jackass McFall.
And I'll still say ninjas to this day, not podcasters.
All right, you're fired. Get off my show. So there's Joe, the tired daddy, who also this live episode is named after. We called it the vomit comet. And then we got VO by Kurt, who's the hurtful daddy. But that's not true. And Joe was not supposed to be here tonight, which is fine. And Danny, I mean, he lays out and lazy sometimes. So I was like, hey, it's your birthday. You want to come on and do some work with me? And so far, you're not that great. You got to step it up, buddy. So how you guys doing tonight?
Great.
It's been a day.
That's not helpful, Kurt. Just bear with me. Tell us about your day, Joe, before we get to that question of the week.
Well, my day started at 12.05 a.m. when my wife poked me and said, get up, I need your help.
Oh, don't you hate
because
that.
Yeah, I was startled. Like she startled me, waking me up, and my two older boys both got a stomach bug, which we figured it was coming. We just weren't sure the timing on it because
it's always midnight or 2 a.m. Always.
Well, on Monday, my wife took the kids to a field trip. To a boat, a ship. I guess it was supposed to be a replica of one of Christopher Columbus's ones. So for their history portion of their class or whatever, she went with her homeschool group. And later that evening, my four-year-old got the bug. And so she sent out a message to all of her homeschool group. They're like, yeah, just so you know, my son has this bug. He wasn't showing symptoms before the field trip, but just figured it should be on your radar. And
he shouldn't have licked the rails of the ship, dude.
So there were four parents in their group, and I don't know how many kids between them, but three out of the four parents were like, we've already got symptoms. So
there really are no symptoms until the kid goes, I don't feel like,
yep, that's pretty much what it was. So it seemed like of those three parents, about half the kids had come down with it that night. And so, yeah, my morning from about 12:05 until about 7:30 was getting up every couple of hours to help clean up after someone who didn't make it to a trash can or the toilet.
So, Joe,
four loads of laundry and
At the risk of starting some marital disputes here, when you're having to roll out some code and you get that 12:05 in the morning message saying, hey, there's a problem with the code. Go to your computer. Do you go and go, hey, babe, I need your help. Come help me fix up this code.
No.
No. So don't give me this crap that moms are better than dads. You still went to work today.
My wife also doesn't come down to me and say, hey, can you help me homeschool the kids?
You should. Wait. You're smart. How are you not educating your kids? You're a bad dad.
So I do informal teaching. She does their formal teaching. And so, yeah, that is a false equivalency if I've ever heard one.
I'm sorry. Did you get up and work all day? Did you slave daddy? Wait, that's not a good name. That didn't come out right. I'm sorry.
Her job is way harder than me. Her employees are way more obstinate than my coworkers.
Oh, Kelsey, I call hogwash. That's not what we wanted to hit.
It's the question of the week.
All right. Question of the week in honor of the 12-year-old.
Shouldn't you always have a bucket by your bed? Yes.
Right? Yes. And you know what? I literally did drills with all of my kids. After the first time they ever got sick and it surprised them, we did drills of run to the bathroom. And the moment I hear that door of my bedroom open, and they say, dad's like, run. I just yell at them. And they go to the bathroom, like, don't come in here and say daddy or mommy, because you're going to get all over the carpet. Go to the bathroom. We'll hear you puking, and we'll come pat your head, baby. It's okay.
Yeah, they both have, even though they share a room, they both have a dedicated trash can upstairs with them right now. So
when Charles says we ran drills, all I can think of is, okay, kids, come here. We're going to give you your teaspoon of Ipecac and go. Go.
Close. Close. But the question of the week, can you see what that says over there?
Yes.
Can you talk into the microphone?
What was your best birthday?
There you go. So do you want to answer it first? Or you want them to answer it first?
I'll answer first.
All right. What was your best birthday?
That I had the Mario cake. So I think I was like, I don't know, 7 or 8. And my mom asked me, what kind of cake would you want? And I was like, a Mario cake. And little did I know, later that day at my birthday, when cake came around, there was white icing, there was a red outline with Mario in the middle
and a star off the top right. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever.
She made a homemade Mario cake.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty nifty. And that's all you remember about it?
Yeah.
Hey, but you loved it, right? Yeah. That was your thing. I could probably find a picture of it. My wife to this day is like, oh, she didn't hate it. She knows better than to say that. But she's like, it didn't turn out the way she wanted, but it was definitively Mario.
Yeah.
The whole face, the mustache, the hat. It was not like, what's that show? Nailed It. It was not like Nailed It at all.
No, it was.
But she acts like it was.
She definitely nailed it, but not the show.
Yeah, I mean, it was. You're right. It was spot on. What about you, old man, Kurt?
This is gonna sound crazy, but I think the one that comes to memory is actually my birthday from this year.
Okay.
Because my,
it's the only one I can remember.
No. well, sort of, but not exactly. So. Because this year for my birthday, my granddaughter recorded a video, and she's 3. She recorded a video that basically said, "Happy birthday, Grandpa!" And what was really cool was she realized she said it too loudly, and then she repeated herself whispering it on camera, and then said, and then walked towards the camera and said, "Let me see." And all of that's in the video, and I love it. And I recorded a response exactly the same, only thanking her for her video.
But you did it loud, and you whispered, and
yeah. You know, and I said, "Let me see," and I walked towards the camera. I recorded something for her birthday today, because today is her birthday.
Oh, there you go. Share a birthday.
Yeah,
that's 3
people. Did exactly the same thing. Like, so I'm going to keep kind of doing that for her birthday. Otherwise, the only other notable one is my actual birthday because the world finally got me.
Okay. Joe.
So many of my childhood birthdays were very, very similar. So I never had a destination birthday. So like I never went to Chuck E. Cheese or anything like that.
Oh, you mean an idiot's birthday where they pay way too much money to get nothing out of it. Yeah, that one.
I mean, that's one way to look at it. That's also why we give our kids the option to get a big birthday present or have a destination birthday party. And so if they choose not to have a quote unquote destination birthday party, they can either have it here at the house or at the park, and we'll have cake and pizza and they can have fun with their friends.
Yeah.
And so for the last couple of years, both of our kids, our older boys, have picked not a destination
smart
one.
Smart kids.
So because they want the bigger present. And so basically we're like, this is the budget. And so we're actually telling, we actually did that with our oldest boy. His birthday is coming up here in a couple weeks. We said, look, here's the budget. Here's the places that you could pick to go to, or you can spend that on whatever you want. And you can even pick your gift if that's what you want to do. And so he's like, all right, I'm going to get pizza. We're going to have the party here. And the rest of it's going to my birthday present.
See, so, I love it.
And so yeah. So a lot of mine were just have friends over, have dinner and a cake, have a party. Occasionally it would be a sleepover. And it was fun. So we'd stay up all night playing video games, and then we'd sleep for a lot less time than we ought to have and wake up and play some more video games. And so that's what a lot of my birthdays were. Though the one that was the most different, I guess, is my sixth birthday. We had planned a trip out to Pennsylvania. At the time, we were living in Washington. We out to Pennsylvania to visit my dad's family out there.
Oh, this. So I know you're listening to the show, Riley. This is a trip that they threw a bobcat in the back of the car, duct tape, you know, buckets in her butt so they didn't have to stop to pee, and drove from one coast to the other in like 6 days.
Not quite. That was about 5 years later, four years later.
How many times did you traverse the United States?
Three times before I was 12.
Wow. All right.
So
he lived Oregon Trail. Okay, Oregon Trail is this stupid. Okay, just make it.
It's where you shoot all the buffalo and you cause the mass genocide of the species. Yep. Don't diss Terry. And so. Yeah, so we went out there, and I got a really cool, like, Nerf bow and arrow for my birthday. And then nice. I'm guessing that there wasn't room in my because I didn't pack my own bag, but that bow never came home with me. And so I was very, very sad about that, but I'm assuming it did not fit in my suitcase. So, yeah. Years later, when we actually moved to Pennsylvania, my cousin was running around, and I looked in his toy chest. And I was like, that's my bow. So it was pretty beat up at that point. But
that sounds like a sad birthday story. A little bit.
But it was fun because I got to spend it with people that I didn't normally see. And so I had a Ninja Turtle cake, and I had a whole bunch of family over, and it was fun.
Kurt, I love how he says he never had a destination birthday. He didn't go to Chuck E. Cheese, but he traversed all of the states to get to the other coast to go have an adventure with his cousins and shoot Nerfs.
Yep. At my grandpa's house.
Yeah.
Sounds like a destination birthday to me.
Right. Now, I'll tell you, my first birthday party ever was when I was six. And that was because my mom and my dad, I guess, but my mom tells the story, they decided to not give me a birthday until I figured out what birthdays were. And I mean, they may have celebrated
like,
a little bit.
Tell him.
Yeah, basically.
Let's see what he asks.
I don't know if they maybe did like a little just family thing, but we went to a friend's house somewhere and they had a birthday party. Then I was like, what is this? People show up, you get cake and ice cream and pizza, and they bring you toys? And then all of a sudden, what's I had this? To have a birthday what's party.
This? Yeah. There's presents everywhere. What's this?
Go on, Kurt. Are you going to give him the golden ticket on that, Kurt? Is he going to Hollywood?
A little pitchy dog.
Yes, that's the line I was hoping for. Thank you so much. I love it.
Don't go to sleep.
All right, so but what I had the option of a destination birthday at some point, you know, because a kid you're at, and but my parents did what you did is, hey, we can do that. I mean, and you as a parent, I look at what you don't get for the money. It's insanely expensive to go to Chuck E. Cheese or to McDonald's. And to know that we could have done so much more for the kid and they want this clown or this rat instead of actual quality. I don't think we've ever done a birthday party like that for you guys.
No, I can't talk about Oakland and Crosby because I haven't lived as long as they have. But I can definitely say that means I have not had a destination birthday.
Yeah, no, they didn't either.
I think we did one, maybe two. We did one to a bowling alley because at the time that my son turned one, I was bowling in leagues.
Okay.
And he loved good. What's that?
No, Kurt couldn't skip practice. So he just brought his kid along and called it a birthday party.
What's your best bowling score?
273.
Nice. Very nice.
Ask me what mine is. Ask me what mine is.
Did you break 100, Charles?
Yes, but barely.
I've only broken 200 once. So
well, it was a company team. A story for another time.
Sure,
but we did the bowling alley thing because my kid would come even at one, and he would just love hanging out there. And so I bowled in a league. At that alley, they allowed you to practice for free throughout the week, and so my kid would go with me, and so he wanted to go and bowl and put the bumpers up and just invited a few of his friends and just bowled all afternoon, and we got that's some awesome. Pizza and stuff like
sure.
that. I think the only other one was like there's a local arcade in town, and we had one of the birthday parties there, but otherwise. Yeah, not a whole lot of that kind of thing. And really not big parties with a bunch of kids either, like just a couple of close friends and whatnot. What I don't understand, my granddaughter, like we've had her birthday
party. I don't understand her either.
Well, we've had her birthday party here at our house every year since she was born.
So three parties, got it.
Yep. The fourth one's coming up on Sunday.
Got it.
The first birthday party, apparently now one of the things you do is you buy a smash cake.
Yeah, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That seems very wasteful to me. And right on the level of a gender reveal party. I think it's insane.
So. I'll tell you for my kids. I'll get to my best birthday at some point, I promise. But for all of ours, now see, here's the thing. Use the word buy. We don't do that. We make cakes. It's a lot cheaper. But my wife made like an extra large cupcake, basically, and so let them grab and feed and that kind of thing, right? And what's funny is every kid had a different personality, and I don't remember what all of you did. I think you liked it. Zoe, like, she got a taste and she went face first into it to chow down. Oakland, my oldest, he put his hand in it and then stuck his hands out and held them up for us to clean. He didn't even taste it. We had to get a fork and help him. I don't honestly remember what you did, but that's what we did. So what makes it, I mean, what did she do with it for that first birthday?
So here's the thing. I wasn't in charge of the cake. So like my in-laws bought like the regular cake and the smash cake.
Sure. Which is expensive.
So they covered the floor in plastic tarp, basically.
Okay.
Put the kid on the floor.
Oh.
Put the smash cake in front of the kid. And which point she all but ignored it. She wanted nothing to do with it.
She has her freedom.
To the point where my in-laws kind of forced the issue. like right. sat down next to her and like put her hands in the cake.
I get you.
And I'm like going, this isn't working the way you want it to go. And like, but you have to force it for the picture now.
Oh my God, I hate that. Now I see what you hated about it, Kurt. Absolutely. With ours, yes. it was very much, well, we went outside in the backyard. Fortunately, our kids are all born in decent weather, two in the spring, two in the fall. And we went to the backyard, so you don't have to worry about a mess. High chair, and just put it on the high chair and let them go. And whatever they did, they did. Yeah. So I get it.
But I love the idea of cupcakes. Like in my mind, I would have said, oh, wait, why don't we just get a ton of cupcakes for everybody.
Exactly.
And so there is no one big cake. There's just a bunch of cupcakes. And so if there's extras, easy enough to dole out and get rid of. And
yeah.
We've done that several times. Like for one of them, I think it was my middle child for his third birthday. My wife laid out a whole bunch of cupcakes in the shape of a three, like easy
brilliant.
Peasy.
Brilliant. Yeah. And a lot easier to deal with, right? Yes. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Pull apart cakes are basically that. It looks like a cake, but it's actually a bunch of cupcakes where the icing kind of connects them. So when you pull the cupcake out, pulls apart, it does. So like my the best.
Monkey bread of birthday cakes?
I find more and more people who understand what monkey bread is, and I love that fact so much.
I like monkey bread.
Was like a week ago or when I went to camp.
Yeah, when you went to camp. Because we don't make it a whole lot, but I grew up.
Yeah.
Well, my cousins came, and they introduced it to us. Anyway, my best birthday, I think, is when I was turning 30. My wife was trying to surprise me with a trip, and she knew my boss. She could have called my boss and like, hey, I want to have him off these days, and they would have done it. But for whatever reason, she just didn't think to that. So the surprise was only slightly ruined by the fact that she got really a last-minute deal at the Hard Rock Casino in Biloxi. And knew it always wanted to stay at the Hard Rock. We both love Biloxi. And we took a 2-night, 3-day trip that, you know, I was able to ask off fairly quickly. Of course, my boss was cool and was like, yeah, of course, go. And that was a lot of fun. It was like the Hard Rock at the time was fairly new in Biloxi. And it felt like, for me at least, a high-end hotel. Right. I mean, because the Hard Rock is purples and all this rock colors and all this. And then the bathroom was all set up nice. And I'm talking about like double showers and, you know, it's not a Holiday Inn, people, but it was really cool. We went and gambled for a little bit and it was a lot of fun there. So I heard Joe's getting antsy. I already heard some dice roll.
Roll that dice.
Roll it's true. That dice.
I dropped the dice. Oh, it's your favorite one, Charles. Number 6. Yeah, it means nothing to you.
Bad joke.
All right, so for the last however many weeks, for the last like dozen weeks, it feels like, he's been reading off your stupid list that you gave him.
Yes, Joe.
When you were here. He was here. But I think it's true. The last one last week, didn't we?
No, I've still got a couple more, but we have a speak pipe that's a bad dad joke.
All right, I got that set up, ready to go. So I guess we're not flipping the coin tonight. It's okay, it's fine.
Not tonight.
Why can't you hear it?
Are we good, Joe?
You didn't like the idea anyway. Why are you complaining?
No. For non-patrons, if you want to really hear what I had to say, patreon.com/wiseandnerdy. Wise_and_nerdy. Because it was not that I didn't like it. It just was proposed as a thing that would be better than a bad dad joke, and it was equal to, not better. So here goes the finger. I'm hitting the button. Are you ready? Here goes.
Why can't you hear a pterodactyl use the bathroom? Because the pee is silent.
Oh, no. See, they even made the kid like, oh, no.
I like it.
No. Oh, no. Roll the dice.
Although it's not quite a bad dad joke. It's a bad kid joke.
Here, roll the dice. Tell Joe what number it is. No, roll again.
No roll doubles. Again.
One.
What are you nerding out about now?
What are we nerding out about now? We've got Dr. Okay, that's not the one I'm thinking. I was thinking of Dr. Sleep. I'm like, Joe, I know. I'm sorry, you do like horror films, but that's not what this is. Dr. Stone is, I'm assuming, an anime.
It certainly is. Yeah. So the new season is airing right now, and it is an awesome anime. So the premise of the anime is this green beam goes around the entire world and petrifies every human being, turns them into stone. And the main character is this crazy genius scientist teenager. And so the entire time they're in stone, he's conscious and counting how long it's been. So when his
stone is a horror movie, cracks
and he emerges, he knows that it's been like 3,000 years or whatever. And so his goal is to bring back science and inventions to this basically wild world.
Stone Age world.
Dr. Stone. Now, actually, Dr. Stone, you find out in the first couple of episodes is a reference to soap. But so he calls it Dr. Stone because soap can prevent so many diseases. So he just nicknames his soap Dr. Stone. And so that's one of the first inventions that he does to prevent them from getting sick. Anyway, Kurt's just like, what?
It's probably a lost in translation thing.
I mean, maybe, but
soapstone.
That's kind of where I was going.
That's literally the only time it says Dr. Stone in the entire thing. And he's talking about soap anyway. And so it's very interesting because it goes in and gives you a high level overview of all the different science that he's doing and gives good explanations. I mean, high level, so not like step by step by step, but there have been scientists that have commented on the accuracy and how pretty much all of the science that they're doing and the explanations that they give are accurate and possible. And so it's very fun and very interesting. And they do run into some inhabitants that are descendants of people who weren't petrified. I'm not going to spoil where those people came from, but it's a really good anime. There are definitely some over the top characters, so Kurt might not like it, but other than that,
hey, it's really anime.
Good. Yep.
Sure
is.
So you see how this works. We're talking about something that we just find fun and enjoyable right now. So you need to get one in your head.
I already have one.
All right, cool. Kurt, what is your, and I do want you to talk about anything else that you are nerding out about, but what's your Demon Slayer update?
Well, the nerding out about thing probably would have ended up with Demon Slayer anyway.
Oh, are you a convert?
So I'm in the middle of episode 25 of season
right at
one.
The end. Yeah, 26.
Oh, yeah, that is season. Towards the end
where everybody is at the Harisha.
Yep.
Yeah, the Harisha. Yeah.
So I'm really, no, here's the thing. I'm enjoying it enough to keep it going because I find everybody, with the exception of Zenitsu and Inosuke, are really interesting characters. Oh.
How dare you sully the name of Inosuke? What is wrong with you? Do some push-ups. Give me some food.
Saying Inosuke isn't over the top. He's the shirtless guy with a board.
He didn't say over the top first. He said everybody else is interesting.
That's true. Because the over the top part, like Zenitsu is actually more interesting than Inosuke. So I'll even say that. So, well, because
Charles is just shaking his head.
Inosuke taught himself beast breathing.
So the issue is
he taught himself how to breathe.
The issue is that those two characters are so over the top, it gets in the way of their actual character development to me. Zenitsu, the reason I say Zenitsu is more interesting is because when Zenitsu goes all Zen and into that trance where he becomes a just major bad
dude. Yeah.
Clean word. So he just, it's awesome. And I love that about him where he just like, but he's so over the top. Otherwise I kind of hate that aspect of him. All the other characters, when they go a little over the top, it's for an emotional reason. It's for some legitimate reason. Inosuke and Zenitsu are just over the top for no reason whatsoever. And it drives me crazy.
By the way, you say it's King Inosuke. King Inosuke. All right. You get that right. You get it right. Secondly, he is the top. He never goes over the top. He is always there, working out, ready to go, keeping people motivated.
Actually, there was a scene where that was not the case. And the reason I remember that is because it was the one scene where he was not over the top. And it was like he thought that maybe he overextended himself and said, have I finally met my match? And
he had not. There's no match.
And it was when they were dealing with the spider people. Uh-huh, I can't remember the terms and names for everybody, but that all being said, I'm really enjoying it.
Good.
By and large, I find that the demons themselves are really very interesting, and the design and the abilities are pretty interesting. Like, I can't remember his name, but the head spider dude.
Yep.
Awesome. Just awesome. And I always get thrown also by the different forms and different, like, because they never go water into where they came five. From water breathing form 10 yeah. and they never go into
that's fair.
How those were chosen, where they came from, what, you know, what it actually means. It might be that it relies on knowledge. They kind of
hint at it later.
I think, Joe, follow me here. And I'm not fully caught up through the Swordsmith Village. We did start it the other day, which is season 4, basically. I think it's lost knowledge to a point because there's something they do come across a little bit later that explains where all the forms originate. Like, all of them originate from one form. But that's about as far as it gets. And I won't spoil it. I won't let you get the rest of it. But they don't really yet go into that. So I'm wondering if it's just not some, in the history of the world, some lost knowledge, which actually just makes it easier on the writers, right? To not have to keep it straight.
Right. I will say the best thing that I saw so far, maybe not, but one of the top things, and it was the most recent, Tanjiro's recollection of the training from his dad when he was fighting the spider guys. Yep. And he just happened to tap into it.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, that's pretty darn cool. Just that untapped resource thing.
The Kagura dance or whatever.
Yeah. So I'm digging it. It's definitely, there's a lot more that's not over the top than there is that is. And so for me, that's keeping me interested. I think that's part of the reason why I haven't gone back to My Hero Academia. Because all the characters,
which is also a super fantastic,
it was the only other one that kept me interested. But I think that the everybody goes a little over the top on that in that show. So
one that you might like that has quite a few episodes actually is Inuyasha.
Okay, I've heard of it.
So it's a little bit older. The story's a little bit slower, but it's got a lot of episodes and it's pretty good. And it's got some timey-wimey stuff, and it's got demons, and it's good.
Cool. Yeah. I don't mind slow as long as it's interesting. Yeah.
You, Kurt, are one episode away from Mugen Train, and man, it goes deep. It's if you think you hit any kind of deep water in the first 26 episodes, just hold your breath. It goes there. The entertainment district goes even deeper. And then I'm assuming Swordsmith Village goes even more deep.
Now, there's two different ways to watch the Mugen Train. So it was a movie first, and then they put out a slightly different version that is a mini season, like it's 6 episodes, I think. 6 or 7.
7.
And so it's basically the same story, but the season obviously has a lot more details and explanations to it. So
I'll probably just whatever Netflix offers up next is probably what I'll do.
It's a cutout version.
And starting with the Mugen Train arc, at least in my opinion, the artwork takes an uptick.
Yeah.
Which it was, I mean, the first season, the artwork was good, but good. The quality, it jumps up a step.
All right.
So,
and they still do the change of style in the middle of the show every once in a while, where somebody freaks out or
oh yeah, yeah. That's for me. That's just anime stylistic thing that they do. I there's a scene that's frozen on my computer right now because that's the part of the episode that I'm in where it's all like almost chibi artwork and the sparks coming off the head thing. Yeah. Whatever.
So that's, I'm glad to hear that you're hooked in. I think it's a great show, obviously. And it does, it's no surprise that Hurtful Daddy was hurtful tonight and hated on Inosuke, King Inosuke, the beast breather who made up his own form and taught himself that and kicks so much butt. It's not even funny.
He's very pretty.
Yeah, when he takes that mask off, he's like the pretty boy of them all, right? 100%. So this just came out this past week or so from AMC. In order, I guess, to keep interest in the movie theaters during the slower period now that the summer's over, right? We've got some blockbusters hitting right now. We got the Marvels coming out. There's one or two other big anticipated films. And it's going to be typically your, you know, Thanksgiving to New Year's, actually Thanksgiving to February fair of here's some cool stuff, but it's not the blockbusters. So AMC started doing this thing called Screen Unseen. And I'd heard about it. I forgot to tell Erin about it. And then she actually told me about it the next day. And so, yeah, we should try it. And what it is simply what it says. You go in, you buy your ticket for the time, and it's literally listed as a movie as Screen Unseen. And you do not know what the movie is until it plays. And
is it a discounted price?
I don't know. I have a membership.
$5. It's $5 plus tax. And the only other information that they give you is the rating. So, instance, on their website, it says on 11/27, it's an R-rated movie.
And I have no idea if it changes every day. I don't know when it changes. I'm glad you looked that up, Joe, because I couldn't answer. I have the membership, so I don't know. We just picked the tickets and went. So we went Monday night, which may or may not have been the first time they did it. It's only been a week old, if anything. And so we go in, and they do show previews. And I was a little worried because most of the previews were of independent films. And I'm like, okay, I mean, independent films can be good, but some can be not that good. But then they did like this big Disney, the Wish film. Then they did like the Marvels. I think it showed that one. They did another. It was like, I can't figure out what kind of movie it's going to be. For us, it worked out really well. It was next goal scores. Next score wins. Next goal wins? Next goal wins.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the soccer movie about American Samoa with Fassbender, who's a washed-up European soccer coach, and they get him a job to teach. Now, this is based off a true story. And the American Samoan soccer team at that point in time, it was 10 years into their career, they never gotten a single goal at all. And they historically have a game against Australia in the World Cup qualifiers, I think it was. 31-0 is what they lost. So, and Erin and I were like, oh, cool, we wanted to see this film anyway. And so it worked out. The first time in, it was very. But here was the worst part of Dragon Con, and both of you've been to Dragon Con, so you were late. There was two nerdy girls sitting in a row or two in front of us, and it's always a bad sign you go into a theater. And this actually, I think it's going to work at least temporarily, because on a Monday night, at any other film, there's like maybe three or four people. Some theaters had nobody. Some people had one. This one had a good 10 to 15 people in it. You know, it's like, hey, let's just have a date night like we did. Let's just have a date night and see what's going on. And see, because you can always walk out if you don't really like it, you know, if it's not your thing. And like you said, Joe, you can see the rating up ahead. And that's about it. But these two young ladies were sitting about a row or two in front of us, nobody in between us. And they turn around. They're talking really loud before the preview. It's like, that's never a good sign. And they turn around and like, do you know what this movie is? I'm like, one, you know me in public, Joe, unless I'm at actual Dragon Con, don't talk to me. But I didn't do that. I was like, no. I just kind of shook my head. I was like, really? I tried to ask everybody out there, and they wouldn't tell me. And then they just smiled like they knew. I'm like, the whole point of it is to not know until the movie rolls. That's the point. Her and her friend laughed hysterically at everything. And that's what I'm talking about. So you get it. You get it. The worst part of Dragon Con. You know, it's that person that's over the top, that sits on the front row, that is just extra loud and
is always wearing jerseys and jeans. And
we need to swap your name, because that's that was hurtful too. But overall, it was a fun experience. And if the rating suits you, after one, I'd say I would try it. I would try it again. And being that's a discount, I'll tell you $10, $10, $11 for two people to go is not bad at all.
Was there a specific day? Because I'm looking at my AMC theaters. I don't see anything like that.
So ours was on Monday. I mean, we literally went this past Monday, but I don't know. I have no idea.
Interesting. Maybe they're not rolling it out to all theaters.
Well, I don't know how we got it, because y'all heard my stories about the crap hole theater that we have in Conyers. Shareholder, I'm very pissed off about it.
It's listed under events for their website. I haven't looked specifically to see if it's in my area, but I assume that Google is tracking my location, and that's why it tells me that it joined us on 11/27 on November 27th for an R screening. And then down below, they do kind of hint that it's going to be a horror film.
That's kind of what I was afraid of, because it's October. I was like, I don't know the other rules. Does it have to be something that's currently released, or can it be something that was not great to start with and they're trying to get more airtime? You know, because my wife actually looked at me. She's like, if it's My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3, we're walking out. Well, we'd already seen it, too. It was the worst of My Big Fat Greek Weddings by far. But let me see. Now, let me go to my theater. So I have the app, right? I'm going to Showtimes for tonight. Of course, there's the Marvels. There's Taylor Swift. Five Nights at Freddy's, Killer Flower Moon, Journey to Bethlehem, Priscilla, Paw Patrol, The Exorcist, It's a Wonderful Knife, What Happens Later, After Death, Freelance, Saw 10, Persian Version, Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas, Divinity, Gran Turismo. Yeah, there's no screen on scene today.
Okay, real quick. This is what I'm gonna nerd about out about, but
we're getting to that.
I know. I'm not now. I'm just saying we were finishing a specific show and we saw Five Nights at Freddy's on Peacock for free.
Okay,
that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, Five Nights at Freddy's is in the theater still, but you can go see it on Peacock if you have that.
Yep.
I don't know, Kurt. It's not listed today, so I don't know if it's gonna be certain days of the week. If it's just randomly
popping
up. Keep
my eye open though.
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
I would take that chance
for $5 or $10. Absolutely.
I suspect that theater viewerships have not rebounded as much as they were hoping since COVID, to be completely blunt.
Because they went back to pre-COVID crap. If it's not a blockbuster, it's almost not worth going the way it's done. You need to make things events. Our theater needs to be upgraded. We don't have nice seats. We don't have nice floors. We barely have clean carpets. You know, we have some nice people. There's some good people that work here in my theater for sure. Super polite, really willing to help you. But yeah, it's not an event. And you don't release everything to the theater.
And it's not only that, but with how many streaming services are offering just to pay and watch it at home, people are like, they're like you, Charles. They're like, I don't want to see people.
Yeah.
So they stay on their couch. And if they want to see it before it comes to their streaming service for free, they just pony up the money and watch it at home.
I mean, I think Kurt said it in the past, and I agreed, like the big blockbuster stuff, the Marvel movies, the sci-fi film, the big productions deserve to be seen in the film. It's an experience, right? Not even the big special effects one, but like I hear great things about Killers of a Flower Moon. That yep. does seem like something you'd watch in the theater. But in all honesty, I love that they made Next Goal Wins. I always have to get this. I never get the name right. But I could have easily watched that at home and had the exact same experience, basically. You know, it wasn't special because it's on the
without screen. The cackling girls in front of you.
Without the cackling girls in front of me, absolutely.
Don't underestimate the power of that. Make it being part of the reason why the theaters haven't rebounded. Because people are terrible.
Oh yeah,
people yeah. are terrible. But sometimes it's awesome. Like when I went to see Endgame in the theater, some of the crowd reactions like. Were just it was fun. It was awesome.
But everybody who was there for that, and that usually increases the closer to opening night you are,
right?
Mm-hmm. But everybody who was there for that, not just for something to do on a Saturday afternoon.
That is also fair,
right? So I'm with you. Like in a movie like that, going like I used to be an opening night only guy, and going opening night. With a big crowd ready and just wanting to see this movie. Oh yeah. It's great.
I honestly have just never had that experience. I've talked about it on Breaking the Panel. I've talked about it in other places. I've done some opening night, like first showing Thursday nights. One of the Thor movies, I think me and my wife and my buddy went to see it and we're in line, right? And we're in line waiting to get into the theater and we go in and it was okay. It wasn't bad. But it wasn't the TV stuff you see or what you've talked about, Kurt, or you, Joe, where you're laughing at the same time or, you know, it wasn't that Jordan experience. It was just an experience, you know, so oh, I haven't yeah. had that.
In Endgame, when Captain America catches Mjolnir, the whole crowd was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Thor backs that up by just saying, I knew it.
Yeah. and the only time I've even come close was when Spider-Man got snapped away. It didn't matter what audience you were in. There was going to be like a, oh, moment for everybody. That one didn't take effect. So,
yeah.
All right, man. Ryland, the heir apparent, what are you nerding out about this week?
I think you know what it is. I think you'll know
what it is. I know what it is. Tell them.
Twisted Metal. It's a show on Peacock, and it's amazing.
Yes, it's based off
the video game. I didn't realize it was out yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was out yet.
Anthony Mackie, right?
Yep, they've completed the season.
And the woman from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't remember what her name is.
That's the one thing I know.
Rosita. Rosa?
Yeah.
That's not her real name, but Rosa from Brooklyn
Nine-Nine. Yeah, the one thing I noticed. And so I originally found out about it by playing VR, coming to plug it in, looking at the TV, seeing what you were watching, and saw
Sweet... Okay, I'd started
yeah,
it,
yeah, and saw Sweet Tooth on the stage with a quiet girl in the cage and John looking at the show. And I sat down and I was like, what's this? Yeah, you go, Twisted Metal. And from then on, we start watching it and just talking about it. And
So you never heard that it was a video game?
No. I just thought
it was. That's like a PS2 game, I do believe. I mean, it was a while ago. And it's not like, I mean, those who know, right? Kurt, you obviously know. Right. Joe, did you know as a gamer play it before?
Oh yeah. Okay. It wasn't just a PS2 game. It was a PlayStation game.
Was it on the PlayStation first? I can't remember.
Yeah,
yeah. That's how old it is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I used to... So I always had Nintendo stuff, but my friend across the street always had PlayStation stuff, which worked out really nice because whenever we wanted to play one or the other, we just went to the other person's house. And so, yeah, Twisted Metal, we had a lot of fun blowing each other up. The racing game where you blow each other up. Although it wasn't really racing game most of the time, at least the version we played, we always played just the death matches.
Yeah. The show does a lot of fan service. A lot. Now, I'm sure, because it's a show, and those games didn't have a whole lot of narrative, if I remember, because games didn't do that back then very much, especially not a game like that. There's a lot of narrative, which I thought worked. But they absolutely have the main characters from the original game. They have a lot of tags. You could tell what the way they reveal, because I didn't remember everything about the game. It's been a long time since I played it. But when they revealed certain things in certain ways, like, oh, yeah, that's straight out of the game. And to the point that we were actually, I was taking him to a conference with me, mm-hmm. and he had my phone or something over on the passenger side, and I was listening to the show while he's watching it. And it was the next last episode, and it obviously came up to this big race kind of deal. And like, yeah, no, we're not watching that until we can sit down together and see it on a screen. Because that it really built up well to that. I thought without, if you're not a fan of the game, but you like post-apocalyptic type dark humor with some violence and gore and a lot of car stuff, it's a lot of fun. Obviously, you guys kind of heard about it.
Sums it up. I'm sure that there's a whole lot of campiness to it. At least in game, it was full of camp. So I can only imagine.
Dude, did you like the camp? Did you like it, Joe?
In the game?
Yeah.
As a kid? Yeah.
You're going to love Sweet Tooth. I want you to watch the show and then come back and tell me that I'm wrong. I mean, I'd be very surprised if you didn't like, no, Sweet Tooth was the best for you. Because I think... Voiced by Will Arnett, not acted by Will Arnett, but voiced by Will Arnett.
And it's on Peacock. Is Peacock still free with ads for non-paid people?
I believe so, but I don't know.
But there's a lot of Peacock content that's not available for the free tier.
Okay. So it may or may not be available.
I haven't checked yet either since I stopped paying for Peacock.
Yeah, because I don't have a Peacock subscription, so I'd have to check.
But I know he's the antagonist, but I'm like, I like Sweet Tooth the best. He was the best character.
I told you guys, he picked civilians. He got a two-sided poster when he was younger, about six or so. About six. Is a Lego Batman poster. Front side had Lego Batman and Robin. Back side had Joker and Harley. That's the side that faced out was Joker and Harley.
But in the end episode, since Joe hasn't watched it, I won't say.
Yeah, no spoilers.
But yeah. In the end episode, we're coming back from Jekyll, and that's when you said, stop, we're not going to watch it. We're going to watch this on the big screen.
Yeah. What was your favorite part of that?
Ooh, that's hard. Let's see. Oh, when Sweet Tooth came into the building with the machete and just wah, wah. And just started, yeah, you know.
That happens a lot, actually, in this show. They really leaned into Sweet Tooth on this one.
To save Stu.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. There's a lot of dark humor. I think Joe, you're really going to enjoy it. Kurt, I don't know your taste in TV well enough, but
I might like it. I don't mind. The dark humor I like. It's just I think the only thing that's going to make it make or break for me is whether or not it's ultra violent.
I think it's
I'm sure it is
as violent. Well, I think it's as violent as a game. Basically, they steer away from seeing the brutality as much as seeing the effects of the brutality.
So I feel
that's fine.
I feel like that one specific episode was the most violent, but other than that, I don't feel like there are any more.
And while Peacock is a streaming service, it's still NBC. So think of it as made for maybe something they wouldn't show on NBC, but very close.
Right. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. So if it's available on the free tier, I will check it out. If it is not, then I guess I won't.
All right.
Roll that dice.
Stay tuned for this commercial break.
All right. Let's see if we can get this done. You good? You ready?
Oh, we can get it done.
Donate to your daddy. Patreon.com/wiseinnerdy.
Oh, I anticipated it, Joe. I was ready. So this is our dance break for the commercial.
Your daddy and leave a voicemail at wiseandnerdy.com/calldad.
We're in the middle.
Daddy.
You are Oh, look, ignore these knuckleheads. I appreciate every last person who downloads this podcast, and we'd love for you to come hang out with us. Patreon.com/wise_n_nerdy. You get some awesome conversations before the show and after the show, and you get $5 donation level. You get Kurt to read a story once a month. You or your kids. You know, we don't have to make it weird. You can just say, I want a story. You don't have to tell them who it's for.
Right.
It'll be yeah. And if you choose, I'll read Go the Bleep to Sleep to Joe. Make him listen. All right, Joe, roll that dice. Here, you roll two. See which one comes up better. He's already
what
hit
do the, you oh love?
God, you have one. I said, you roll two. See which one comes up better. No, you're still. No, it's too late now. He already rolled. Hit the button, and now we're into the can you dig? It's not even can you dig it. It's how do I think, right? Or what do you think about? We're into what do you think about? Kurt, this is your kid.
I know.
This is your kid, Kurt.
Oh, yeah.
Timing is so bad.
Yeah.
All right. So it's what do you think about, right? Joe?
Yep. This is your topic.
All right. This is my topic.
What do you, hey, Charles, yes. What do you think about dream walking?
Random trivia. Oh, wrong question. So I kind of want to get your guys' opinion on it. I honestly, I'm not 100% sure what I believe on it. Everything is kind of a figuring out thought process, but I've definitely had some dreams that were not lucid, right? It's not like I controlled them or whatever, but it was very much, it felt like a different kind of reality, right? Not like, oh, I dream stuff up. And you see purple monsters, like, no, and there's certain, it only happens. And every time after I have this type of dream, I wake up a certain way. Like I'm extra groggy. It felt like I came through. That's the, I mean, of course I have a sci-fi brain. I watch a ton of sci-fi, but it feels like I got pulled through something like into the Spider-Verse and they're falling through the Spider-Verses. When I wake up after these dreams, that's what it feels like. Like I got pulled back to here and I hurt a little bit in the head and I'm groggy and I usually have to go to the bathroom or whatever. And it's not like any other normal night when I wake up to go pee like an old man.
So you're talking more about lucid dreams rather than like the supernatural
walking
into other people's dreams.
No. I don't mean walking into other people's dreams in that sense. I mean, and honestly, I think I mean visiting like parallel universes, that kind of thing. Is like it maybe that is what lucid dream. Maybe it should be more lucid dream.
Like the Doctor Strange thing where your dreams are windows into alternate realities of your life.
Yeah, that. So what do you think about that?
Is it that they appear to be more vivid, more real to you in the moment?
But they're also definitively different, like not here, not crazy either. It just feels like a separate. Well, and I don't remember it fully, except when I come out of it. Every time I come out of it in a certain, you know, the certain, it's not every night, it's very random, but when I come out of it, every time I come out of it, it feels like that snapback and it's painful. It's kind of painful. But I guess so. I mean, I guess it's hard. It obviously is very hard to explain.
Yeah, I've definitely had a lot of vivid dreams in my life, and there have been different times where I've tried to find meaning within my dreams as well. Symbolism and things like that. Like one time I had a dream that me and a woman that I knew at the time, but I figured it was just a face in the dream, not actually her.
Sure.
We're living in this giant, like log cabin, mansion almost surrounded by pine trees, like no roads up to it or anything like that. And, at the time, my thought was that it was like, I felt at peace and I felt comforted, and I was almost like it felt symbolic of what heaven was going to feel like.
Okay.
How I have my wife there, and it would be
my wife
peaceful. Ooh. And so like, yeah, I've tried to find takeaways, and then there's random dreams where, I can fly, but whenever I can fly in my dreams, I can't fly very fast. It's more like I jump and I float and I move forward slowly. I'm more like a glide on the air. But
I get that. This, I don't know. This is like, I mean, you said it best. It's like the Doctor Strange where your dreams are a portal to another reality. It just feels like that. You can say no, because I don't know what kind of dreams you get. Have you ever had anything like that, Rylan?
There was one where I felt where I knew I was in a dream. You know when you wake up from dreams and you're like, was that really not? But there was one where I knew I was asleep and I just had woke up. And even at like 6 p.m., I still could feel I knew I was in a dream.
I got you. That's different. I think I understand what you're saying. What about you, Kurt?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I've certainly had the dreams where I've woken up and didn't realize it was a dream, which is kind of the most vivid ones to me, where it feels like it's reality, even as insane as it is in the details. But so that you wake up feeling a specific way because of what happened in the dream.
Gotcha. Yeah. We've talked about it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But I generally don't really try to find a whole lot of meaning in it. Because I think dreams generally are just a way for our mind to release stress and tension.
Sure. Sure.
And so whatever happens, happens. But it's been a long time. And most of my dreams are pretty much, you know, you wake up, you recognize that something happened. You might be able to pick out one fact, but it's fading fast. And so, I don't remember a whole lot most of the time.
I get you. And I'll be honest, the only time I have those ultra realistic dreams, like they're very grounded in reality, they might even be familiar, it is when I have to wake up to pee, because I'm starting to wake up, my body's trying to wake me up, right? But my brain's like, now I want to sleep, or vice versa. And then it's like, you go into the bathroom and you do your business and you get back to the dream. And then they say, you know, you're going back to the bathroom, or you're peeing in a corner, or, you know, and like, oh man, I got to wake up. But yeah, none of it, I hasn't quite felt that real.
Some of the most confusing ones that I've had have been things like where you dream that you're sleeping and you wake up in the dream, but you're still dreaming.
I've never had that.
I have, and it completely screws with my head, because then you actually wake up and you go,
right,
but I already woke up.
Is that top spinning or is it not spinning?
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely it's a weird inception type of thing, and it's only happened a few times, but it's enough to make you like go, wait, am I actually awake right now? Right. Yeah, okay, so, yeah. So
you took the wrong colored pill,
Joe. Yeah, apparently, Joe. Inception is this movie by the guy who made Batman,
where they I've seen Inception. I'm just checking.
Roll that dice,
man. I don't know if we've done that one yet. We haven't. Awesome.
Let Daddy decide.
All right. This is why don't you ask? Because, okay, little backstory. I think I've told a little bit on the show. Rylan is into coding. We talked about doing Scratch. Actually, we did. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, because that's how I found those sites. Joe and Kurt both told me about the sites that you can code with. So he likes learning how to code. He likes doing those little things. At one point, you thought you might want to stream games. And so can you read the question over here?
How do I become a game tester? Well, there's a few things. One, you can contact me.
All right, Bethesda, contact your parent. Tell him you need him to play your games.
I guess, was it Fiverr, I think?
Maybe. The Fiverr does a lot of things.
Yeah, I know. But I think that I'm just trying to remember the name. I think
Fiverr.
So you could pay
4chan. I don't
know. What?
Nothing. Fiverr.
Well, where else?
Okay.
So, yeah. Or you could just make your own video game and then you could play test it.
That's what I do all the time.
He has made a few like Flappy Bird type games. Yeah. Why don't you ask Joe, how do you become a game tester?
Yeah, Joe, how do you become a game tester?
Well, having never been a game tester, I have plenty of experience in this. Now, actually, I heard about a website, and I don't know. I've heard that it's legitimate, but I haven't looked deeply into it. Called Playtest Cloud, where you can sign up to playtest stuff, and they'll pay you for it. However, how frequently you get picked up is another story. Sure. But I've heard that you can sign up, you can playtest, but I've also heard that if you don't like get right on it when they say, "Hey, we need some testers," then they'll already have met their quota for the number of testers that they need within like an hour or two. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt and do your own research. But yeah, Playtest Cloud is what I've heard of as a way to become a video game tester.
Ask me how to become a video game tester.
Joe,
ask me.
How do you become a video game tester?
I would call my good buddy, Kurt Botain, to see about how he got to become a game tester when he was young.
Yeah, so how I did it and how you do it now are very, very different. How I did it, when I started doing the game testing thing, it was very, very niche-y. There was like most people didn't own a computer. Most people were barely playing video games. And literally I got my first job by seeing an ad in the newspaper. Now, the newspaper is this actual.
Shut up.
That's exactly where I was going with that, too. And there was an ad. And what was funny is I was actually reading a computer gaming magazine with a buddy of mine. And one of the companies that we really enjoyed was called Origin. And they did role playing games back in the 80s and 90s. And in the back of the magazine was a full page ad for their latest game. And at the bottom, they had the address of the company, and it was in the town that I lived in.
Okay.
And I went, well, that's weird. Maybe I should call them and see if they need any testers. And then the next day in the newspaper, there was an ad literally for that company to hire a tester. And so I said, well, I got to call them. I got, you know, and
how
and
old were did you that. At the time?
I was 19.
All right. That's good timing. Right at that right age of jumping in.
Yep. And I was their first full-time tester.
I'm just very curious. How did that interview go? So, do you play games? You're hired.
Yeah. Well, it was some of that. Like, what do you own for a computer? Like, what kind of games do you play? And you know, I even at 19, I was savvy enough to go, well, the games that I played are like the game that you guys just released last year, and I'm looking forward to the sequel, which I knew I did some research. Right. But I also really liked it. Right. But I also really liked their games and really wanted to work there anyway. So, so I went there and literally had the interview, and they talked about like, what kind of games do you play? Do you do this? Do you do this? What are your other hobbies? And, you know, I read comics and I played D&D, and, you know, it all kind of lent itself into it. And, it really was pretty straightforward, because again, guys like me were fairly rare.
Yeah.
Back then. Now, not even close. Like nowadays, you pretty much have to have a degree. And if it's in the game industry, that's even better. But more than that, what I would do is like, what kind of games do you like?
Oh, okay.
I have a job. I don't need to be a game tester.
Right.
let's see. I mostly like puzzle games, but also adventure games like Zelda and.
Okay. All right. So cool, cool. So what you figure out who are some of the companies that you really enjoy playing their games and the types of games that you have more experience in, and then you contact them and go, hey, do you have a beta test program? And then when you and you'll get turned down by a whole bunch of people, but you'll get accepted by some. When you get accepted, you treat that as if it's a job.
Because it is a job.
Because the reason is everybody gets put on the external beta test or the public beta test thing.
Sure.
How many people provide actual useful feedback? Very, very few. Like right. A really tiny percentage.
So that was what I was going to ask you to help clarify is it simply just, I like games, and then you play it, and like, this piece of trash is broken? Or how do you actually, I've heard you need to maybe take some communication classes, some writing classes. Because what are they looking for in a good tester?
So clear and concise communication. That's a big thing. And that's usually written because you usually have to submit bug reports. Passion for what you're doing. No question about it. And really, like, when you come up with something, let's say you find a bug and that is like when you grab the key from the dragon, you get stuck in the wall. Well, they're going to want to know what part of the wall, where, how many screens were you in before you got there? What, you know, what character are you playing? What kind of a key was it? You know, what dragon was it? You know, were you on the border of the world? Like there's all kinds of, the more detailed that you can be, the more useful you can be, to the company, because they're putting it out there, not just to have people play it. And for marketing reasons, they're putting it out there because they want to see if things get broken.
Yeah.
And if a bug is repeatable, it's a lot easier to fix.
Well, that's the other thing. Like if you say to them, hey, I can get this dragon to crash this or I can get stuck in this wall every single time. And here's how you do it. That's gold. That's that. And I'm not even being facetious on that. That's like repeatable issues is huge because random stuff sucks. Yeah. It's just hard. It's hard to, it's hard to nail down, and it's hard to retest, because then if they come out with a new version and they say, hey, we think we addressed your dragon and key issue. You can go, okay, well, I know how I can reproduce that all the time, so I'll go and try it.
Right.
And then you can say, oh, no, this is definitely fixed. But it really is reaching out. And if you have local game companies in your area and you're of age, because they're not going to hire somebody.
Yeah, you got to be like young, 16, typically.
Right.
At least.
Then make yourself known. Start getting in touch with them. Start contacting support. Find out who the test manager is, and just shoot them emails, and just stay involved. It's a rat race, and they hire and fire a lot of people nowadays. And be prepared that if you get hired at some point, you're going to be fired or laid off.
Yeah.
You're going to be fired or laid off at the end of that project. And you just stay in the pool.
And you might get hired for another one. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
You might get hired for another one.
It's going to be contract work.
So in one of my favorite VR games, Blade and Sorcery.
Sure.
I did find a bug. So I was playing around, and in Blade and Sorcery, there's a house. And if you go to a specific area, you can choose maps to go to and all that. But you can play around in the area, the starting area in the house. So they have water, and it's kind of a beach, a remote island type of thing. And what I did was I went off in the real, real far side where not a lot of people would go. And I went into the water. I turned around, and I found this, like, holding in the ground. So I was like, I'm gonna check this out. And you can grab onto the land, but you can go under the hole and out of the map. And it's not blocked off or anything. You can get into the area. It's not on the border of the world. It's easy accessible. It's
found a glitch.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and you can repeat that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you go back into the game, it's just the hole stays there and it's not blocked off. There's no barrier there. You can just go under it and get out of the map.
And have you reported that to them?
No, because I don't know how to.
Okay, so that's your first issue. Mm-hmm. Figure out how to.
There you go.
And I'm not even kidding on that. Like, if you really want to get it, then you'll figure out who to get to. Mm-hmm.
Now,
although often in a lot of these games, there's a support button. So
usually, yeah. So,
which is how I've reported bugs in like Minecraft. Actually, maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, they specific in the notes, the patch notes, they specifically referenced my bug when they fixed it. So I was like, woot.
They called it.
They read it. They did it.
Factor. Is that what they called it?
Sure.
Before we hit this last story here, I want to remind everybody about our watch party on November 21st, where we're going to watch Batman Mask of the Phantasm on our Discord. If you'd like to be a part of that, that's through patreon.com/actually, you know what? Email us wnnshow@gmail.com and let us know you want to be part of the watch party. We'll give you a temporary access to Discord and get you to watch with us. So we're gonna do that on Discord November 21st.
And by temporary access, it means permanent access, because we probably won't kick you.
That's possible. That is possible. I know you can make a link that expires in a certain amount of time, but or temporary, whatever. And then live on the show, if you don't watch it with us, be prepared on November 30th. We'll record the live episode, which will come out a week later, on our thoughts and experiences with Mask of the Phantasm. So that's based off the Batman, the 90s animated series, Batman the Animated Series. So I'm not sure who put this in, but I'm going to guess, being that he's the king of vomit tonight, Joe, tell me a story about your worst Six Flags experience.
Personal story time.
Oh, so this was when I was 16. I was probably 14, because it was... Anyway, regardless, I was a teenager. My uncle, who was trying to spend more time with family, decided that he was going to get annual passes to Six Flags for me, two of my siblings, and his son, because he wanted us all to spend more time together. So we got the season pass. We went, it was our first time using the season pass, and it was literally the first ride we went on was one of those ones where you go all the way up to the top and they shoot you straight down. Okay. So I'm strapped in, I'm looking down, and when it drops us, my head goes funk.
Oh no.
I got some crazy whiplash. The rest of the time that we were there, my head was at an angle because it hurt to straighten it. Okay.
Oh no.
I developed a migraine. I was feeling nauseous the entire time.
Yeah, semi-concussion, my friend.
Yeah, no, it was not a good experience. We went on one of the roller coasters with the dangly feet, called, I think it was Medusa was what it was called. And I literally fell asleep on the roller coaster.
You absolutely had a semi-concussion, if not a concussion there.
And
you got some CTE going on. That's what's wrong with you, Joe. You got CTE. You're not tired, Daddy. You got
no CTE. Wonder you don't like vomit like a normal person.
But for the next 2 days, I couldn't keep my neck straight. Like I was in bed because it hurt to move. Like, yeah, it was not good at all. I'm kind of surprised my parents didn't take me to see a doctor or anything.
Oh, no. Papa NASCAR would have just put you in a little headlock and tried to straighten it out for yourself. You're lucky he didn't see your neck sideways, because Papa NASCAR would have just fixed it for you.
Oh, man. But yeah, that was by far my worst experience at a Six Flags.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the medicine on that. You probably strained or pulled a muscle in your neck, which is why, you know, it's over because it hurt to straighten it up. Possibly, maybe being, how old were you?
I was a teenager, like 14-ish.
All right, so you probably didn't have any spinal actual issues, but you probably pulled a muscle there. But there's this thing called coup, C-O-U-P, coup, contra coup, like contra the game. Get this S and you spread, yeah. And that's where your brain, because it floats in your skull. So when it's down, you went back, it hit the front of your skull, and then when your head stopped, it hits the back of your skull. And that's where the migraine and the sleep and everything else came from, man. That's you probably do actually have some CTE going on right now.
That's when I started getting migraines. I didn't get migraines before that. And now I get migraines probably about 10 times a year or so.
When's the last time you had an MRI?
Right.
I don't think I've ever had an MRI.
I can't remember what CTE is. We called it something different when I was growing up, but CTE is head trauma, basically. It's it's brain trauma specifically, and it builds up over time. You did wrestling at what age?
When I was a teenager, about that time.
Wow. Yeah, buddy. I think it's time to pack old buddy boy up into the car and let's take him to a intervention MRI and see what's going on in that skull.
I mean, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to get my head checked out anyway, because my dad died of an aneurysm, which is supposedly could be genetic. So the type that he had. So,
well, did he also not know how to ride amusement park rides?
Well, you know, man. What? Here's the best dad advice I can give you, Joe. Just rub a little dirt on it. That's the show, everybody. Tune in next week to hear Kurt say.
Patreon.com/wiseandnerdy. And if you can't get there, then go to VO by Kurt and I'll scoot you over there quickly.
Help me, Daddy.
Follow these nerdy dads on social media. Charles at Rock God of Podcasting and Joe at Joe_Ard, wiseandnerdy.com. And as always, they may or may not be your father,
but they will always be your daddy.
And Kurt at VO by Kurt.